Stars here.
The Webb family. They've been here this month before. So we're tied in the Blue Haven world. David was one of my counselors. Yes. He's one of the fans. He's in the people who's wandering. And then David and I served on the board together when I was on the board. He is still on the board. He got on it before I did, and it's still on. So he out left on that. We're grateful to have him here this morning. Continue to be in prayers for Linda. I've had those conversations while she was on drugs for an interesting. I was thinking about that last week. Really the first time Mark and I sat down, when he was asking if I could come fill in. He used to fill in preaching here. And this was back in 2016. He had just had a seizure. So I went to their house and visited with him while he was on drugs. And it was also interesting. Be surprised that I'm even here. It's good to be here. Hey, the journey through Romans chapter 8 has been a long one. And I know that. And we're going to wrap up chapter 8 in Romans this morning. It's 4 weeks in Romans. Also two trips that Lynn and I took in the midst of Romans chapter 8. One to Texas, and then I'm on Nashville, Tennessee with Michael Jan. So here we are at the conclusion of Romans chapter 8. We're going to start the verse 31 this morning. It says, and again, as we talked about, Romans chapter 8 is probably one of the most popular chapters in all of Scripture. And Paul's going to conclude with this. But he's not going to say anything new. He's just going to repeat it because he's just, Jason, I like to consider, I mean, I like to get excited about talking about, Jesus' baptism and Jesus' ministry started. This is Paul being excited about the beauty of who Jesus is. This is Paul just kind of bursting out the scenes going, I don't know if you guys fully understand this. Matter of fact, there's going to be a reference in the middle of this text from Psalms 44 of a devastating time in the history of Israel. And this is Paul's answer to that time. And Paul is just overjoyed with the reality, if you remember where we started, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's the beginning of this chapter. He's so excited to tell you where you belong. Is anybody need to know where they belong sometimes? Is it easy to get lost in life and forget who you are? You know, that was the one thing my dad would always tell me when I would leave the house. Tanya probably remembers this too. And I didn't do a very good job of it all the time. Remember who you are and whose you are. And I hated it. I always kind of, when I was in my rebellion, right, I always kind of wish you'd forget to say that when I was really young. Because then I wouldn't feel quite guilty, right? But the reality is that this thing we call life, we oftentimes forget who our Father is, who our Savior is. And this is Paul just kind of bringing all of this to an exclamation point and saying, do you know who you are? There's going to be some questions we're going to ask as we go through the end of this chapter this morning. What shall we say then? What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And how many of y'all have seen that in cross-stitched? Maybe not cross-stitched. It's probably a cutout, steel, and hanging in a locker. Right? We talked about the cross-stitched scripture before. We're going to talk about the one that gets us fired up. If God's for you, who can be against you? How many of y'all feel that way this morning? So if an all-powerful, here's the first question we're going to answer this one. If an all-powerful God has purpose our good, why would we fear opposition? Is anybody out there fear opposition? I like to think, you guys have heard me talk a lot about my dad. I'm trying to flip the script this morning a little bit. I've been told in my life I don't tell enough stories on me. And so I'm going to tell you guys a story this morning about me. I hope it doesn't run the image that I've created. that, I mean, my dad was my Superman, so I had this crazy idea that maybe one of these days my boys might think I was Superman, right? And so I shattered that one day, though. I like to think that when Hunter was young and he could look at his dad and go, man, that's my, when danger's around, this is who I want to be next to. Did you ever think that? Realizing that what God has given us is not just the death of Jesus Christ, but the Holy Spirit to live in us, to guide us, to direct us in life. Stop dying, start living. And Paul is so excited to express this that he keeps going. In verse 33, he says, "Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? If it is God who justifies, who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us." So question 3 and 4 I'm going to put together this morning. Question 3, who can bring an accusation against God's elect? If God accepts me, then whose disapproval need I fear? If Jesus, the judge, was judged in my place, how can I live guilty? In John chapter 5, verse 22, you see, he's upset because I'm not left for my life. I learned not to talk over that. In John chapter 5, verse 22, it says, "For the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment."
Your identity.
And I mean, is Satan calling into question Jesus' identity. He's saying, if you're really the Son of God, if you're really the Son of God, and so oftentimes in our lives, the breakdown starts when our identity is called into question. And God is saying, you're my child. I have washed you. I have marked you with my blood. I have marked you with my Holy Spirit. I have put that and placed that inside of you as a mark, as Ephesians 2 says, guaranteeing your inheritance. Do you believe in guarantees? I love guarantees. And he's given us that to guarantee our inheritance, and we don't believe it. And the first thing Satan does is go, did he really say that? The first thing Satan does to Eve, did God really tell you that? Did God really tell you not to eat that tree? To not touch that tree? Hold on. The first thing the Satan's going to do is call into question your identity. And so the first defense against that is, do you believe that you are who God said you are? The elect, chosen, his child. Let's finish this text. Thank you. section for your sake, in verse 36, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. That's pulled up Psalms 44 at a very dark time in Israel's history where the psalmist is crying out to God, have you forgotten us? Like, we're going through all this heartache and all this hardship and all this struggle and all this pain and all this strife. Have you forgotten? Do you not hear our cries? Have you forgotten where we are? Have you forgotten that we're your people? At this dark time in Israel's history, and this is Paul's answer to that dark time in history. No, in all things, God hasn't forgotten. There's suffering in life, but God is in the midst. Michelle Wolford, friend of ours, said this, and I know I've shared it with you all before. Sometimes it just comes down to believing the truth of God to reveal to you in life. God has revealed deep truths through Scripture. And those truths often come from the life that reveal themselves. We see them, we experience them. We take hold of it. But oftentimes in the dark corners of our life, the hardships of our life, we're required to believe and have faith that those truths still exist in the darkness. Just because you can't see them doesn't make them true. They're still true. And so in the darkness of life, the truths that God reveals to you in the light, they're still true in the dark. You just got to come to them. You have to trust them. So oftentimes in our life, when we hit these struggles, we start fixating on the things that we can see, and in darkness it's not much. Instead, he's saying, I need you to understand that the truths that I'm giving you, that God is above all, that Jesus is your judge and he died for you, that he has marked you and he has given you the Holy Spirit this morning, to, as we talked about last week, as Jesus wept with Mary and Martha at Lazarus' tomb, even though he knew he was going to bring Lazarus back to life. He still wept with them because they're friends. And you know, David and I prayed together a couple times. Not in public, but, you know, in private. And it's because there's a friendship here, and we sometimes we're excited about things together, sometimes things hurt. And we're joined in that. And just like Jesus was joined in Mary and Martha's suffering and struggle, the Holy Spirit is joined with you today in your struggles. And he is praying and interceding for you without words. So that he knows, because he's struggling, he feels your pain. And as Paul is saying in this time of Romans, where they're going through so much hardship and persecution, he's trying to give them confidence to understand there's something superior to the things that you're going through in this life. There's something great. There's a bigger who. Because who is bringing you down, there's a bigger who.